Well, a pleasure. It's been a while since we've had Rabbi Schwat or Ari Schwat back. He serves as the director of the Rav Kook Archives in Beit HaRav, really one of the experts on the thought and philosophy of Rav Kook. He's taught in many of the Midrashot in Israel, many of the seminaries in Shivot where the American kids go, and been living in Israel since your year of after high school, right? You made Aliyah right after high school. Bnei Akiva, right. They really worked with you. Okay, so happy to hear and a pleasure to welcome you. Vakasha, talking on Tkiyat Shofar. Vakasha.
Okay. Shalom, everybody. First of all, I want to dedicate the shiur to the chayalim and the wounded and everyone who's in the shelters. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we should have in the new year Besarot Tovot Yeshuot V'Nechamot for each and every one of us, and for all of Am Yisrael. Many of us have, maybe everybody has, a certain ironic timing issues that they remember from their childhood. I remember in third grade, when we were learning about the Haggadah of Pesach, we opened up the door for Eliyahu, and there was Mrs. Ratner, the secretary, waiting just to come in. And that's the type of thing that everybody remembers. Another one of those ironic moments is one time during Rosh Hashanah, right during Tkiyat Shofar, there was an ambulance outside. And, you know, everybody was laughing. And as we're going to see, there's a lot of irony in that, because the ambulance and the siren have a lot to do with Yom Teruah. So let's get right into the sources. We see in source number one, in Bamidbar Perek Kaftet Pasuk Aleph, that's the book of Numbers 29, Uvechodesh Hashvi Be'echad LaChodesh Mikra Kodesh Yelachem, that in the seventh month, that's the month of Tishrei, at the beginning of the month, Yelachem kom lechet avodah lo ta'asu, Yom Teruah Yelachem. It is a holiday that we don't do work on that day, just like Shabbat, just similar to Shabbat, similar to Yom Tov. And it is called Yom Teruah Yelachem. It is a day of blowing the Teruah, blowing the shofar. So that is the essence of of Rosh Hashanah. Hello, do you see me? Do you hear me? Somehow I got...
We hear you fine. We hear you fine.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay. Then I brought for you from the Navi Chizkel, chapter 33, where he writes as follows. What is the job of a shomer? Anyone who's ever done the Israeli army knows that you do a lot of shmirot, a lot of guard duties. And here we have the Navi is told, what is the job of the guard? Vayidvar Hashem elai le'mor ben Adam, Hashem, God says to Yechezkel, son of man, daberu bnei amcha v'amarta alehem, eretz ki avi alei acheres, tell the people that when a war breaks out, sword comes upon a country, v'lakhu amaretz ish echad mikzehem v'natnu oto lehem letzofeh, and the people will appoint a guard to stand on guard. And his job is to look out and to see what's going. V'ra'et acherev v'ba al ha'aretz v'taka b'shofar v'izhir et ha'am. We see here in black and white that the shofar in the olden days was the siren. That's exactly. So when you hear the shofar, you have to switch gears. Don't think of an ancient ram's horn, but again, in addition to the ancient ram's horn, which has its own symbolism, but the pshat, the simple meaning from the Tanakh, is that we are hearing a siren to alert the people. Pasuk Dalet, v'shama shomeat kol ha'shofar, v'lo nizhar, and if the guard... If the guard blows the shofar to alert the people, and somebody hears the siren, and he doesn't do anything about it, if he is taken hostage, unfortunately we also have that on our agenda, If a person heard the siren, but just went along doing his own thing and didn't pay attention, it's his own fault. Or as we say in Hebrew, Zabasho, Zota Ba'ayashelo. That's his fault. On the other hand, if the shomer, if the guard, sees the enemy coming, and he doesn't sound the siren, he doesn't blow the shofar, the amlonis are, and accordingly, the nation cannot act because they didn't hear the siren, they don't see the enemy coming, and the enemy, they come and they take hostages, if the shomer did not sound the siren, he is at fault for everyone. And we see here that the anybody, when I was a kid growing up in America, I don't remember hearing sirens. In Israel, every now and then, they sound the sirens just to test them. And there's an international sign of the siren. There is just the checking tone, which is like a tkia, one flat tone. And then there is and they say that if it's a real air raid alert, there will be up and down sounds, which is the trua. That's exactly what the trua is. The tkia, and how do you know when you can leave your shelter? When you hear the tkia, that flat note, is the all's clear sign. And as far as I understand, this is international. In Israel, they stopped testing the up and down signs, and they stopped bichlal in a lot of places because it gets people very nervous. But once you understand what the tkia is from the word takua. Takua is something like when you're tokea a masmer. When you bang in a nail into a wall, it is static. It is set. It's not supposed to move. That's the takia. Kia is takua. On the other hand, trua is from the word ra'ua. Ra'ua means shaky. And each one of these is respectively exactly the sound that it makes. Now, to take it one step further, we actually have the decoding of the shofar in the Torah itself. Let's see together in source number 3, where I brought for you Bamidbar, the book of Numbers, chapter 10. Vaydaber Hashem em Moshe le'mor. Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Aseh lecha shtei chatzotzrot kesef. Make 2 silver horns. Now notice, here we're talking about horns, but the blasts of the truah and the tkiah, those are the same blasts that we use in the ram's horn and the shofar. But here the Torah is going to decode when exactly we do a tkiah and when we do a truah. And we'll see that not only is it if you do the wrong one, but the Torah is going to say that when you have to do a tkia, titku below tariu, you have to do a tkia and davka not a trua. So what is the code? Aselecha shtei chatzotzrot kesef, miksha taseotam, make yourselves 2 trumpets of silver. By the way, it's very interesting that aselecha, the Gemara, I believe it's in Menachot, learns out that you have to make for you horns of silver. What does it mean for you? So the Gemara learns out that every generation needs to have its own silver horns. In other words, most kelim, most of the utensils of the Beit HaMikdash can be passed down from generation to generation, and they were. On the other hand, there's a special law that the chatzotzrot, the horns, have to be made anew every single generation. And interesting, I once gave a class here on Rabbi Kelman asked me to speak about the differences between Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Kook. In America, the Rav is Rav Soloveitchik, and in Israel, the Rav is Rav Kook. But on this issue, they both say the exact same thing. And it's a beautiful drasha where they say that why does every generation need its own horns. They have to be made anew, because what was good for listening in the previous generation does not speak to the modern generation. Every generation needs to hear the Torah and to hear the call of God in its own language. And our grandparents' generation was definitely different from our parents. And today, with Rav Kook talks about how the world is constantly evolving, but it used to be a slow evolution. Since the Industrial Revolution, it's growing in leaps and bounds. And B'li Ayin Hara, we have seven children, and the older children are like in a totally different generation than the younger children. And generations go change differently. And also, the education for kids, even 15 years ago, is different than for children who are being raised today. Anyway, that's just a side point. Close the parentheses. So that's why every generation needs to have its own horns. The job of the blowing of the horns during the 40 years in the desert was to call the entire nation together, to hear announcements, to get together, to learn Torah. On the other hand, the trumpets were sounded also as a sign that it's time to get on the move. We are about to travel. This is the tekiah, and this is the teruah, as the Torah goes on to detail. V'taku bahen, when you blow the chatzotzrot, or in our case, the shofar, just translate it to Rosh Hashanah, because that's what we're talking about. V'noadu elecha kol eida el petach oel moed, when you blow both horns in the desert, all of the entire nation of Israel would come together, would unite around the Oel Moed, around the Mishkan. The imba achat itkau, but if instead of blowing two horns, you only blow one horn, the noadu elecha nasiim rashei alfei Yisrael. So that's a sign to unite just the heads of the tribes. In other words, the tkiah sound, that one sound, its job is to unite. Sometimes it's to unite the heads of the tribes. Sometimes it's to unite the entire nation. But the main point is tkiah is a point of unison. What is the idea of uniting in the tkiah? The idea of the tekiah, and this is also found in the Kabbalistic sources, is the idea of relaxing. There's safety in numbers. When everyone's together, it gives a certain relaxation. I remember there was a certain period when in Riverdale, when we used to have problems with the local Irish kids in the St. Gabriel's on Johnson Avenue, if anybody is from Riverdale. And so they used to, a couple times they beat up the kids, little kids, on their way to Bnei Akiva. So what we had to do was we made walking groups. And I remember there was a walking group with the two girls from Yonkers that would walk in an hour, really dedicated. By the way, one of the Chanifim of the Sniff, when they got older, I asked them, no, do you remember Bnei Akiva Riverdale? They said, sure. And I asked them, what do you remember? And they said, well, I remember the Meshugan and Madrichot would walk an hour every single Shabbat afternoon from North Riverdale and Yonkers to the Hebrew Institute of Riverdale, also in the snow, also in the rain. And I don't remember anything that my Madricha ever said, but he said, I remember their dedication, their idealism. Anyway, what was the idea? Why is this 10th and 11th grade girls, these two girls who are in charge of a walking group, if, I don't know, some hoodlums would want to beat up the walking group, I don't think these two girls would be able to protect them anyway. And they don't have cell phones to call the police, and it's Shabbat. But what is the idea? There is safety in numbers. And the idea of gathering the people together, that is the symbolism of the tekiah. It's a relaxing sound. And that's why when it's time to leave the shelter and it's all clear, what is the all clear sign? It is that one tkiah sound, which is the sound that was used to unite people in the desert. And also notice it's one sound. That's the symbolism of uniting. Continues, we're in Bamidbar, again, chapter 10, Pasuk Hey, 5. Utkatem trua vinasu, Utkatem trua vinasu machanot achonim kedma. But if you want to travel, right, we traveled a lot during the 40 years in the desert. How did people know that it was time to travel? Well, they would sound a truah and not a tkiah. They would have that up and down sound, that of ra'uah, truah, from the word ra'uah, that it is shaky. And that's a time, that's a sound that it's time to get moving. Now, what is the idea of time to get moving? Well, in the desert, when one travels, there are a lot of dangers. Where even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously gave us the water and he gave us the man and he protected us with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, nevertheless, it's natural to be scared when you are on the move in the desert. There are scorpions. There are enemies. Look at Amalek, right, who attacked us. The idea that when we are on the move in the desert, how did people know that it's time to move? They would blow a truah. That is a sign that there's danger involved, that we have to move. Just like the sound is a moving sound, as opposed to the all clear tkiah sound. Pasuk Vav. Utkatem truah shenit, v'nasua machanot achonin temana truah yitku l'maseha. You remember there are four different camps. So when you make one truah, that's a sound that the eastern camp of Yehuda, time for them to go. Then when you sound a second truah, that's the time that the southern camp Reuven and their camp goes. And so for the third and so for the fourth camp. But the common denominator is that when it's time to move, you always blow a truah. On the other hand, just in case you didn't understand the principle, that when you want to gather the community together, you do a tkiah and don't do a truah, because you're going to get the people nervous. That's going to throw them off. Pasuk Chet. The Kohanim are the ones who blow the horns. By the way, anybody who's ever been to the Machon HaMikdash in the Old City in Yerushalayim, maybe you've seen they've already manufactured two kosher silver horns to be used in the Beit HaMikdash, part of the mitzvah of baking a Mikdash. We can't build a temple, but at least to prepare the utensils, according to most opinions, that is also a mitzvah even today. But the idea is that these symbols, that of a tkiah and that of a truah, these are eternal symbols. Pasuk Tet. And when a war breaks out in your country, you shall blow a truah with those horns. That's a sign, again, that it's danger. So again, when do we do a truah? Twice. Two situations that are really the same idea. One, when we are traveling and about to face the dangers of the travels. Second of all, when we go to war, and that it's not a coincidence that these are both the symbol of the truah. And you have to start thinking about what does that mean when Rosh Hashanah is called a day of truah, a day of the siren. Pasuk Yud. Uviyon simchatchem uvmoadechem. But on holidays, happy days, Ibn Ezra says that it's talking here about after Hashem gives the people of Israel victory, then we are supposed to dedicate a new holiday on the victory. Sounds familiar. That's exactly what Yom Ha'atzmaut, Israeli Independence Day, is. For the victory in the War of Independence. That is what Yom Yerushalayim is about, to celebrate the victory of the Six-Day War. And what do you do then on these holidays? And on Rosh Chodesh, utkatem b'chatzotzrot alotechem v'alzivchem shalmeichem, and then you blow a tkia, vayu lechem lezikaron lifnei Hashem Elokechem, ani Hashem Elokechem. To summarize, we saw that the truah, as we said, is a sign that you have to get on the move, whether war or whether it is traveling. The tkia is to gather the people, and it's the all's clear sign. And that is the sign to this day, internationally, when you hear the siren. By the way, so I was saying that in Israel, on Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Memorial Day, and on Yom HaZikaron, in commemoration of the all of the soldiers and the victims of terrorism, that's the day before Yom HaTzma'ut, we sound the siren. I actually remember the very first time I was in Israel, and I had never heard this before, and I was on a bus. They told me that in Yerushalayim, that's where all the action is. So I was on a bus on the way to Yerushalayim, and all of a sudden they heard the bus pulls over to the side. Everybody stands up. I didn't hear anything, but I saw everybody was standing up. So as a new Ole Chadash, I asked, "Hey, what's happening? What's happening?" And somebody said, "Shiket, Sfira, be quiet. It is the siren." Now, I didn't know the word Sfira means. Pulled over to the side, and in Israel, we all stand up to hear the Sfirata. Can you hear me?
Off and on. You went off again. Now, you know.
Okay. So let's get back to the... So you didn't hear the punchline.
Okay, you're very fuzzy now, but if you can hear me properly.
Okay. I see that you're frozen.
Oops. All right. Let me get a cup of coffee. Yeah, some people have coffee already.
Rabbi, sometimes it helps if he cuts the video and we just have
I thought I was saying that. I don't know if that's really true, but we can ask.
It really is true.
You mean if he or all of us take off our video?
Well, him.
Okay, I'll ask him. Hopefully he'll be back, but let's just say the key is a positive sound, the shvarim and the true are negative sounds. That's al regalacha, you know.
Are you saying about
Rabbi, if you want, I can blow shofar.
Okay, I don't know. I hear a shofar already. You know, Mark Shapiro told us, I don't know if it's the entire community, but I think in one of the Syrian shuls, they don't blow shofar in Elul. And the reason they don't blow shofar originally was because their shul was in a residential area and the neighbors complained. They used to have it at 6 in the morning. It's very nice. They're beautiful. It's why you can't make a minyan on an Elul playing. Can't bother people. You want to make your religious things can't come at the expense of anybody else. So they stopped blowing shofar. I guess it was the area, even the windows were closed. I don't know. So they didn't blow shofar in Elul. And the rabbi told him that he actually likes it. I'm not blowing shofar in Elul, even though, you know, now they're in a big shul. You know, once a minhag starts, it keeps going. You know, we're not into change. So my understanding, he told him he likes it because when we come to Shul Rosh Hashanah, you're going to meet everyone. Like, I've heard shofar already. I've been 28 days. I've heard shofar. So it's not exciting. When you haven't heard shofar for a month, when you hear that first blast of Rosh Hashanah, so I still think that blast of Rosh Hashanah is different than Elul, but I totally hear what he was saying. There's something special. So we heard shofar once this morning. Okay, Rabbi Ari, they tell me you should take your video off if you freeze again. So we'll have to do Torah listening, Torah Lishma, right? Lishmoa. Okay, so hopefully you'll be fine. And let's go. Let's see. Okay, can you speak? I mean, you can speak. Okay. The question is, can we hear you?
Okay, and now we're going to get to the punchline. Yeah. Yeah. You hear me? You see me?
Yeah, but they say if you turn off your video, it might be better.
The main point, and this is where we're going. Oh, yeah? Okay, let me try. I changed location to a better location. Do you hear me now?
Yes.
Is it okay?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, yeah, we hear you. Ashrei Yoshevei
Techa Od Yalulucha. Ashrei Ha'am Shekach Halo. Ashrei Ha'am Shehashem Elokav. You hear me?
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, great.
Okay, so we'll try it without the camera. Okay. In short, okay, so what we've seen till now is that there are two types of sounds. There is the tkia and there is the trua. The
I guess the shvarim got upset at him and knocked him out. But okay. What can I sorry, listen, but it's okay. But it is confusing actually, because the trua, it says yom trua yelachem. So there's a debate. What's trua? Is trua shvarim? Is trua a shvarim trua? Or is it a trua? So sometimes the word trua, don't know what it means. I mean, that's when we blow shofar, you don't really have to blow all three. I mean we do, but originally, 1500 years ago, some shuls, that's how I think many people explain that. In certain shuls, they blew what we call a shvarim. In certain shuls, they blew a shvarim trua. And in certain shuls, they blew a trua. There were different minhagim. What do Rabbi Abahu, 3rd century in Caesarea. I'm filling in for you, Ari, if it's okay. I hope, I'm telling you, Rabbi Abahu, because sorry, when he joined it into one, they used to people that different minhagim. And it's really in the 3rd century only that the minhag developed. We're going to do shvarim trua, and trua alone. But I said the shvarim got upset at you. You mentioned we have two sounds, the true and the kiss. So there's the shvarim knocked you out. But okay.
Uh-huh. Okay. I hope we'll be okay now. The main point, though, is what is the connection between Aleph Tishrei, the day of the creation of the world, or to be more exact, the creation of man, and the Yom Trua? And we saw that the trua is when we're on the move. And usually what happens on a new year, similarly on a person's birthday or a Rosh Hashanah, also is a international birthday, is that we do a cheshbon nefesh. It's like passages. Everybody knows the famous, it was a bestseller by Gail Shee, Passages, and we're all familiar with people who have a middle life crisis, that whenever you pass into a new stage, you ask yourself, where am I, and where should I be? And that's exactly what happens during an air raid siren. During an air raid siren, everybody is supposed to ask themselves, where am I? And where should I be? That's what Rosh Hashanah is about. When, if Chas V'Shalom, there's an air raid siren in Israel, if you are in Miluim, then what you have to do is say, well, I am here, but I have to go to my army base. If you have children in the park, you're saying, well, I'm here. I have to go and bring them home from the park. If it's a conventional warfare, where am I? Where should I be? I have to go to the miklat, to the shelter. But those who remember the Gulf War in 91, where we were told that when we hear the siren, don't go to the shelter, but go to sealed rooms. But what's the common denominator? It's that where am I and where should I be? This is the basic existential question of to be or not to be that we ask on the days of judgment. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. To the same extent, who else does a trua when an ambulance wants to pass through and say, my car is blocking him? He puts on that same trua siren. And I, as a driver, should ask myself, where am I? I'm blocking the ambulance. Where should I be? I should move over to the side, right? And the same thing with, we all remember the old alarm clocks that would make a tkia. And it would wake you up, but then you'd fall back asleep after 2 seconds. The more modern alarm clocks make a trua with up and down sounds where you ask yourself again, where am I? I'm in bed. And where should I be? I should be waking up and get out of bed and going to davening or whatever it is. In other words, the international sign of the trua is a siren to get on the move. And that's what we did in the desert for 40 years. It's either a sign to get on the move, that's the trua, or the trua was a sign to go out to war. But that's the common denominator of that up and down sign. On the other hand, there's an interesting halakha that before and after every trua, and as Rav Kelman pointed out, Shvarim is called a trua, trua is called a trua, Shvarim is called trua, but what we have to have is a sandwich. Before and after every trua, we need a tkia. And this is a very interesting halakha, because everybody knows that in Hebrew, it's called the Yelid Sandvich, the middle child. I'm a middle child myself, number 3 out of 5 children. Everybody knows that the most important part of the sandwich is the middle. You call it a peanut butter sandwich because the middle is peanut butter. So too, the sandwich that we have at Rosh Hashanah is a sandwich of Kia, that's the all's clear sign. At the end, another tkia, the all's clear sign. And in the middle, we have a trua, which means where am I and where should I be? And I got to get moving. What is the idea? The duality of Rosh Hashanah, if we see in Nehemiah in source 5, in chapter 8, Nehemiah tells us that all the people were really upset and sad and crying. So I can give out Rosh Hashanah. And he tells them, in short, today is a holy day for God. Don't be mourning. Don't be sad. And don't cry. Rosh Hashanah is not a sad day. Why? Because in addition to the trua, there is the first and the last sounds are tkia. Vayomer lehem lechu ichlu mishmanim. Go and eat fat meat. That was considered a luxury in those days. Ushtu mamtakim and drink wine. Vishilchu manot le'inachonlo and send food to those who don't have. Ki kadosh hayom ladunenu. Va'al te'atzvu. Don't be sad. Ki chedvat Hashem hima uzfem. Rosh Hashanah is a happy day, but it's also a sad day. It's also, God is Avinu, he is our father, but he is also Malkenu, he is also our king, he is also our judge. So we also have the Tkia, and we also have the Trua. And this is what I brought for you in source number 6, that we say before the Tkiot in Tehillim 47, Allah Elohim Bitrua. Elohim literally means judge. That is God's name of Midat Hagdin. The Gan is the king. He is the judge. And he rises with the trua. Adonai bekol shofar, but yudke vavke, that is the regular kol shofar. That is the tkiah. So what do? It's both. I could give the example of somebody who's driving. A kid, an 18-year-old, just gets his license. And like a lot of us, when we were 18 years old, and you get out on the highway with your new license, and you push the pedal to the metal, and you start speeding. And this kid, all of a sudden, he's so enthralled in his new powerful toy that he doesn't notice there's a policeman behind him. And the policeman is coming closer and closer, puts on the siren, tells him to pull over. And this 18-year-old is thinking, why? All the time, all the effort, all the money that I put into learning how to drive, and the policeman's going to revoke my license. Remember, the first half year, you're on probation. And the policeman comes closer and closer to the car. And the 18-year-old sees in his rear window, he sees that it is his father. He forgot his father's a policeman. So his father, the policeman, who may be paid for the driving lessons, if any policeman is going to forgive me, it's my father. On the other hand, if there's one policeman who might give me a spanking, it's my father. So on Rosh Hashanah, our father is also our policeman. The tkiah and the truah work together. And that is why if you look at, and we'll finish off with some examples of the laws of the details of Rosh Hashanah. In source number 7, Rav Yosef Karo says, "Ein mitanim b'Rosh Hashanah." You don't fast on Rosh Hashanah because it's a happy day. Onam lo yochlu kol sva'am, but don't overeat because it's also a Yom Teruah. It's a serious day. It's a day, again, like we said, on a day of passages, on the birthday, on the New Year's Day. By the way, I remember as a kid, I don't know if it's still true, they used to say that there are more suicides on New Year's Day than on any other day of the year. I don't know if it's still that way in America. But what is the idea? Why do so many people commit suicide on New Year's? It is a day of passage. It is a day where you ask, where am I? Is my life the way I want it to be? And where should I be? That's the truah. Source number 8. The Talmud Bavli, Masech Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Bet asks, why don't we say Hallel in Rosh Hashanah? The answer, well, it's a day that we are standing before the judge. How can we sing the Hallel? It's not a happy day. Or maybe Yotir Nachon, it's a little happy day, and it's also a day of judgment. In source number 9, the Rambam says Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we don't say Hallel. And why? Because they're Yemei Teshuvah, they're days of repentance, of improvement. Upachad, and fear. We stand before the judge. Lo Yemei Simcha Yetera. They are not days for too much happiness. And anyone who's learned Rambam knows the Rambam is very careful with his words. What does it mean? It's not a day of too much happiness. Happiness, yes. Kia, but in the middle, it's called Yom Teruah. Don't overdo the happiness. The Rambam in the laws of Avelut in Source 10 says that we know that when a person, Chas V'Shalom, is sitting Shiva, and a holiday comes, it stops the Shiva. It stops the Shloshim. Is Rosh Hashanah considered a holiday that it stops the Shiva? The answer says the Rambam in the laws of Avelut, Chapter 10, yes. It is a holiday. The Rambam in Hilchot Tshuvah, Source 11, he calls Rosh Hashanah. He goes out of his way to say, B'yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah, on the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. Notice all of these diukim. When does the Rambam have to say that Rosh Hashanah is a holiday? Because a lot of people think that it's a sad day, because they're concentrating on the Yom Teruah, on the we got to get moving, on the where am I and where should I be, the siren aspect, rather than the all clear aspect. But both are true. Similarly, we see Rabbeinu Asher regarding tefillah. And I understand that Rav Kelman spoke about this when I was on the fritz. Do you say Chagim Uzmanim L'Sason on Rosh Hashanah? Well, some do and some don't. Everybody should follow their nusach that's printed in their mazor and what they do in their shul. But the point is that Rosh Hashanah is both. It's also a holiday. That's the Tekiah. That's the Yavinu. But it's also Yom Teruah. It is Malkenu. It is a day of that we have to examine ourselves. The same thing regarding how to dress on Rosh Hashanah. The Talmud Yerushalmi in Source 15 in Rosh Hashanah 1:3 says that as opposed to most people, when they go before the judge, they wear dark clothing. They're scared of Yom Hadin. On the other hand, Aval Yisrael, the people of Israel, we are God's children. Einoken, Ela Lovshim Livanim, we wear white clothing. Why? Because we're confident that the judge, who is also our father, again, the policeman who's also our father, yes, he's going to judge us, but he's also going to have mercy on us. So the Balach in Surah 16 asks an Orachayim Tafkuf Pei Ayin. He says, okay, so if it's a day that we're confident that God is going to forgive us, so instead of wearing white, why don't we wear colorful, happy clothing, festive clothing? And the answer is obviously, it's both. And this is the duality of Rosh Hashanah, of the Avinu and Malkenu. Maybe I'll finish off with a story that in the Hasidic Rebbeim, the Rebbe, the custom is that he's the Chazan on the first night of Slichot, that we're going to start on Saturday night. And Slichot, we know our prayers, that we ask for forgiveness, etc., etc. And the Rebbe, he started saying Slichot, and he got to the 13 traits of God, which is the punchline that you're supposed to say with real kavanah, with real feeling. And he felt that his chassidim weren't with him. So the Rebbe turns around and he says, no, makes a motion, no, wake up. And then they did another round and another 13 traits of God, again, gets to the punchline, and the people are still not really into it. So the Rebbe turns to the people in a way that only a Hasidic Rebbe can do. He stops in the middle of prayer and he says, how would you people like to know God's secret name, that when you address God with this name, he always is going to answer your prayers? So all of a sudden, everybody was interested. There's the famous name of 72 letters, a secret name. There's God's name of 42 letters, secret name. What, the Rebbe is going to reveal the secret, one of the secret names of God? And the Rebbe said, the name, the secret name of God that he wants all of us to address him is Tati. Uvale. Daddy. When you look at God as your father, how can he not answer your crying? I live in a yeshuv in Kochav HaShachar. We have about 450 families, an average of 7 children per family. That's a lot of children. And on Friday night, when everyone's davening together after tefillah, inevitably there's always going to be at least one kid who's crying. And when he cries, he yells, Abba, Daddy. And you see 450 heads turn around, because maybe it's my child. Probably not. But you don't want to take a chance. That's why what the Hasidic Rebbe was saying. Yes, Yom Rosh Hashanah is Yom Teruah. It is a very serious day. It is the siren of up and down, of the ambulance, of where am I and where should I be? It's the alarm clock that wakes me up. Where am I and where should I be? On the other hand, before and after every Teruah is a Tekiah. All's clear, all's clear. The judge is our father, not to worry. I see somebody ask, where did the Shvarim come from? The Shvarim is actually a Teruah. I understand that Rabbi Kelman explained that when my Zoom was on the fritz.
Yeah. Okay, Rabbi. Thank you very much. We're good. You know, I think it's called, if I remember from English literature, pathetic fallacy, that their breakdown tends to shofar as those broken sounds, shvarim and trua, those not clear sounds. So you gave the shear with some little broken pieces in the middle coming back and forth. So I don't know, but everything ties in. But really, thank you very much.